Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let's let Miss Jenny Grubb from Longview, Washington, is going to call up in and sing a song that Chrystia Lane made famous way back when.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy.
As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy.
My friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious graves.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this evening, Father, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us and to speak, Father, this evening, so that the words that are spoken and the things said and done are yours and not mine. Now be with us, Father, throughout the remainder of this service this day. And we're asking this in that sweet, precious name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. It's been a good day. We started the day with a little bit of rain, but most of the day now we've had pretty sunshine out here, and the temperature has been just about right. It's good and comfortable out, so he's given us a good day. Good evening. Starting back with you tonight, from the beginning, because most of us, although we've read it time after time after time, there's a lot of it that we don't pay attention to and have not paid attention to. And in the day and time in which we are now living, there's even a lot of controversy about what did take place at that day and time. Well, this is one thing we know. We know that the Word of God is truth. It's been proven time after time after time. And you can take your Bible, and once you'll follow it and follow the leading that it gives, and you do it with the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you can see wherever prophecy that had been given for the day and the time of the Old Testament is all taken place. And it took place just exactly like it was stated. We're seeing a lot of prophecy even come into being today, happening just like it was prophesied to happen. There's still a little more left, but not much to come about yet. That mainly has to do with his coming back to the earth to set up his millennial kingdom. But I'm going to take you all the way back to the beginning. So I'm going to be starting out here with Genesis chapter 1. Because you see, it tells us here in this first verse, he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Most of us has never realized what took place, how it took place, and when in creation it happened. So with the help of the Holy Spirit this evening, we're going to touch upon some of these things. Here in verse 2, he says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Won't you notice here, if he's talking about moving upon the face of the waters. In other words, this earth was created really out of nothing. And he goes on to tell us about that. And it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. But we're not talking about the moon or the sun, just light. That's just like when we started the day today. There was no sunshine out. It was cloudy, and drizzling rain, but yet there was light. And that's what this is talking about here. Because you see, he had not yet created the sun and the moon. The other lights that he created, not yet. He was just beginning here. And this was actually what took place on the first day of creation. And here in verse 4 he says, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And that's what gives us our day and our night. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. That's what was done on the first day of creation. Now here on the second day, verse 6, it says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. We're still actually dealing more or less with nothing. But he's dividing, as the scripture calls it, waters. You know, because you see, everything was more or less in vapor form. And now he's dividing that, which is what and where He is going to create the earth and the heavens. You see, out of all times that we may have read about the creation, we haven't really studied to see the work and the things that God did do and the power of his spoken word. Verse 7. And God made the firmament divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And so was it. It was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. That's what happened on the second day. Now, we're going to see a lot more of the power of God's spoken word. That's why you and I, when we really see and begin to understand the kind of power the spoken word carries, it gives us a greater understanding of what our spoken words can mean and do for us and what it will do. Our spoken word can bring life. It can bring health. It can bring love. But it can also bring destruction, death, and hate to us. So we need to be very careful of what we speak. I have those around me that claim to be the children of Almighty God, but yet they like to use cursing. Instead of leaving it alone and using godly words. And what that will do will bring destruction upon themselves and can even hurt others. We see here now that God divided them waters with this firmament. And you know, verse 7, he ended that verse with, and it was so. And he called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And as God created these things, we also see where he called each of his creations, and it was good. He was getting joy out of creating creation. And the third day, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. You see, there wasn't even any dry land until God spoke it into being. All of this that has been mistaught down through the years about a great explosion and dividing land and all, which formed other countries. You see, it was not so. God spoke the dry land into being. But He spoke and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. He even named them. He's the one that named this planet Earth. And the seas, seas. And there again, he said, and it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. He spoke those things into being now. And why? You see, he was making preparation for something else that he had not brought into being yet. But he's putting the herbs and the fruit trees and all on the earth. In verse 12, he says, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So you see, our vegetation and all, the grass, the trees, all of that was created on the third day. Now we're getting into the fourth day. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Now we're getting in to God's creation of the heavenly lights. Now, not just lights, but the heavenly lights now. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's your sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, your moon. And he made the stars also. When you look up at night into the sky, a nice clear sky, and you see it filled with all of those stars. Stop and think and realize that God made every one of them. He spoke them into being. Verse 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. You see, he's still creating things. He hasn't got to the main thing yet. He's preparing everything else for his main creation. Here on the fifth day, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And 23, and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Now here, as we get into the sixth day, we find him creating two different things. Verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. That was the first of the sixth day. The first part of the sixth day of God creating those. Now, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now God is making man here. But we're going to get into how he made man, and how mankind was made, and for what reason. Now, he also, in creating mankind, he gave us dominion over everything. All of his creation. And we actually are here to take care of God's creation. We haven't done too good a job, have we? We wonder why things are like they are today. It's because we have not done our job. Now, in 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. Does that mean God looks like you and I? That's not the image he's talking about. The image he's talking about is man was created a spiritual being. This body that we look at today, and how we look at it, is really so wrong, because we've made bad things out of it, and it's not man anyway. It is a house, a temple, that man lives in, because you, as created by God, are spirit. You see, those are things that mankind has forgotten. But he created us in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Everything was put under mankind. Now we know, he goes on to tell us about his creation. Here in verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. You see, this is another reason why you and I should take more thought about what we do eat and what we do put in to this body that God created from dirt. And 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Think about it. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. That was the end of the sixth day. We're going to be going in now here to chapter 2 and the seventh day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. I'll let you think about that for just a moment or two. How? Let that sink in for just a little bit. Now, in verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. But you see, he made the preparations for this man before he created mankind, so that mankind would have everything he needed. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. It had not rained, but there was a mist that watered the ground. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, that's where you and I came from. We came from God, as he breathed that life in. To that form that he is calling man, that he had made out of dust. But you see, our life is spirit. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. You see, the Bible tells us actually a lot of what we should be eating. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now, running through the garden, there was four heads of water. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compresses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. You know, we all think of gold as being yellow, don't we? But pure gold is not yellow. Pure gold is actually transparent. That's why when you buy jewelry, gold jewelry, most of it will run either 10 carat, 14 carat, some 18 carat, because when you get into being full carat gold, it's transparent. We don't think about these things, see? Now, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and onyx stone there in that same place. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compressed the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. And that is it which goes toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And that, and in that valley, will be where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. When you look into the book of Revelations. 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He gave us dominion over everything, and we're supposed to keep and to care for the garden. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Out of all he has created, he has only forbidden man to partake of one thing. One thing only. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And here comes trouble. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from him, from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And to this day, to show you the truth, as an example of this word, take yourself and a woman and have some chest x-rays made, and you find she has one more rib than you have, because God used your rib to make her. Think about it. Now, he brought this woman to the man, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." That's why she has her name. "Therefore shall a man leave his wife and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked." And the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed, because you see, sin was not in the world. And that nakedness meant nothing to them. But she was created to be a helpmate. Now, we don't know how long they were in this garden before they fell. Because it doesn't tell us. It tells us how they fell, but it doesn't tell us how long they had lived to this point, how old they were, or anything. We do know that Adam himself lived 930 years. It doesn't tell us how long Eve lived. Because you see, in the beginning of those days, man lived a long, long life. We know the oldest man, which was Methuselah, lived to be 969 years old. But most of the lifetimes back then was between 700 and 900 years. Now, there was a reason for that even after the fall of man. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." In other words, he was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But you see, here comes that craftiness of Satan. "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You see, Lucifer, which is Satan, was kicked out of heaven because he was trying to place himself above God. And when he was kicked out, because he had also a third of the angels following him, they were kicked out with him. This is where all these little demons come from following him, which the biggest percentage of mankind today is still listening to Satan. They're still listening to Lucifer. But he's leading her to believe that they, her and Adam, could be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, they'll know good and evil, all right, to a certain extent. They'll find they're strictly not God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You see, God had actually told Adam not to eat of that tree, but Adam let his wife eat, and then he also ate himself. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now, you see, they are realizing some things, but not enough, really. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He's hiding now from God. But you see, in his eyes he was hid. But God knew where he was and knew why. But he asked him anyway. And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And you know, that fall is what has brought sin upon man, all mankind. And yet, there was a lot of things that man was doing that was wrong that God did not count as sin. And maybe if God will allow us, we'll get into that more come Tuesday. Because I'm going to stop here, and we're going to take communion today. So all of you that have got the stuff for communion, get it ready so that we can have communion. Because you know, there is a lot of power in the communion of Almighty God. Because we are to remember the body and the blood, those things that the Lord our God went through to bring life, health, healing from sickness and all from you and I. And yet, still mankind is still out here doing that thing which was not for him to do. But as we partake of the bread and the wine, we do this in remembrance of God. The bread is so you and I remember what he bore in his body. The beatings, the stripes that was upon him, put upon him. Those wounds that gives you and I our healing yet into this day. And that drink that reminds you and I of that precious blood that was shed to cover our sins, because he was one without sin. He had no spot, no blemish. He went to the cross so you and I could be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. And on that night of their supper, he took bread and he broke it, looked up to heaven and prayed. And he told the disciples, he told them, he said, take, eat. This is my body. Take it and eat it in remembrance of me. Take your bread. By the same accord, he took the cup. And he told his disciples, he said, this is my blood that has been given for the New Testament. We know that it covers our sins, sickness, and our diseases. Take your drink. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we thank you, Father, for all you've given to us. We thank you, Father, that we can partake of communion, that we can come closer to you, Father, that we can walk upright in this life, that we have a way through the Lord Jesus Christ of making heaven our home. Now, Father, as we prepare to separate tonight, Father, watch over each and every one. Touch them with that healing hand. Make them whole, Father. Each name, Father, as I call each name, touch that name. Touch it with thy healing hand. And fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Because everything, Father, is yours. All the fullness of this earth, Father, is yours. It's not ours like mankind thinks. Help us to continue looking up, giving praise, honor, and glory unto you and unto the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Use us, Father, in great and mighty ways to get the gospel out across our land and bring it back, Father, to repentance, to repent for the sins our land has brought upon its own people. Now, Father, these names, may the Holy Spirit touch them, fulfill that need they have. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband, Tom. Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob. Jerry Coates. Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina. The Brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg. Pastor Smalls and Glory Bound Church of God in Irvington. Pastor Randy Johnson. Pastor Eugene Bess. The Church of God of Brandenburg. For the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there. Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. This young man, Will, Father, that has been ordained into the ministry. My prayer for Will is, Father, that his teacher has been the Holy Spirit and he is the minister you want him to be. Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. Father, you know the need that is there. We lift them up, put them in your hands, Father. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, not only a lighthouse, but make it a place of refuge. And Father, put a man there that will fill that place with the Holy Spirit and make it a house of prayer, Father. And a place to where man walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And Father, for our three friends, three brothers in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Meshai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, and for each family, Father, that will hear this message tonight. My wife's family, my family. Father, may the Holy Spirit work within the families. Work with those that are walking in darkness. Help to turn them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all will be able to make heaven their home. Now, Father, Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, Jim Taylor, Kelly Smith, and his wife, these all, Father, are standing in need of a healing touch. Touch them, Father, and make them whole. Use them all, Father, to help build your church and to get the gospel out to this county and this state and wherever else, Father, that you make a way for us to reach. And once again, Father, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, God willing, we can all be together again come Tuesday night at 6 p.m. So until then, hold on to him, and he will hold on to you. God loves you, and so do we here at this church. Here at the Lighthouse Team Church on Shoemate Road. God be with you. Good night.